Good morning. I will call the meeting to order. The date is March 23rd, 2011. Time is 8 a.m. In attendance today are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator French, and myself, Co-Chair Thomas. We do have a quorum to conduct business. This is a meeting of the Senate Education Committee for this, the first session of the 27th Alaska Legislature. Purpose of the meeting today is to hear from the Alaska PTA, specifically about the Parent Engagement Program. Senator Stevens joins us. We have with us Al Tamangi. I think that's close anyhow. Vice President, Parent Engagement Program, and Paula Pawlowski, Director of Parent Engagement Program. As a matter of housekeeping, I will probably be leaving right around 8:30 as Senate Finance is taking public testimony at that point in time. And at that end, I would turn the gavel over to Senator Meyer. So if there's nothing else to come before the committee, before we get started, we'll have Mr. Tamangi and Paula, please come forward and put yourselves on the record and start with your presentation. And if there's anything else you need to distribute at this point in time, we can have that done for you. Or if you want to do it later on, you just let us know.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman,
feed us a little bit at a time here so we don't get.
Right. Mr. Chairman and members of the Education Committee, thank you. I'm Al Tamani, Jr. I'm the Vice President of Alaska PTA Parent Engagement Program.
And for the record, I'm Paula Pawlowski, Director of the Parent Engagement Program. And yes, he is my boss.
I'd like to give a brief overview of the Alaska PTA's Parent Engagement Program over the last year. Before that, though, I'll get into a little bit of history on the parent engagement within the state of Alaska. In 1995, the State Board of Education voted to become a John Hopkins University Partnership State. They gave access to resource and training by Dr. Joyce Epstein. Based on the six ways for parent engagement, the Department of Education, Alaska PTA attended training as a state team leader, and we also had the president at the time, Abby Hensley, attend that. In 1997, the National PTA published what was referred to as the Blue Book. Another one of our state board members, Sue Hull, was a co-author on the Blue Book, and she was also a National PTA board member. In 2001, the State Board of Education Early Development endorsed the Language Standards Blue Book. Paula Pawlowski was on the State Board of Education and Early Development and co-author of Building Successful Partnerships. You can currently find the standards listed on the Department of Education website. Originally, we have made two previous requests for funding for a parent engagement program from the state. Both times that we've made that request, it sailed through the House and sailed through the Senate. Unfortunately, the governor at the time vetoed it both times. In doing so, we elected to take another path, and we went to the federal government asking for funds to fund the parent engagement program in the state of Alaska. In 2009, we received $238,000 under the FIE, the Federal Innovation of Education Funds, which gave us enough money to run the program for 3 years, and currently we're completing our second year. Part of our parent engagement program is we have an advisory committee that is made up of core team members of leaders who help design and develop the goals for the parent engagement program. They are past state PTA board members, and several of us, including myself, have also served on the National PTA Board of Directors. Alaska PTA, what's your turn?
As we gathered our core group of people together.
You put yourself on the record each time.
I'm sorry. You guys yes, Paula Pawlowski.
It probably would
sort
be clear,
of
but just.
Voice,
just
but
yeah.
Paula Pawlowski, Alaska PTA. We actually, I just want to read you the name of people because I know that you will know some of them. Ann McCoy was past PTA president, current professor, doctorate at APU. Abby Hensley is now director of Best Beginnings. Sue Hull from Fairbanks now serves as local board member, school board member. Myself, Bunny Schaefer, now serves on the State Board of Education. Sue Ellen Aploff maintains our website, keeps me straight, gets me on, believe it or not. I'm not on Twitter, but I am on Facebook. And Al is a previous president. Not one of them turned us down for this project, which I think, you know, emphasizes the definition that Harvard University is now using for parent engagement, which is cradle to career. And, of course, these are all committed people. They put together four goals for us to imagine that we could do with this project. And we used Harvard's family research project that was called a logic model of setting goals. That just means we had inputs, we defined the activities, we have outcomes that we expect to meet, and we have performance standards. This report gives you of what we've accomplished the first year. And many of you know me, and I will tell you that it was much more difficult to obtain than I thought, because the building of the basement, the foundation, is so much harder than it is just to do the work after it's established. So goal one was to develop a team of parents from each school district in Alaska to provide parent-to-parent opportunities for parent engagement. And that was our basic premise. Parent-to-parent discussion is so much more powerful than admin to parent down. It's top-down. Although parents are partners with teachers, it still comes from top-down. When parents talk in the grocery line, they have real information, and they share that. So that was one of our goals. I'll talk about a project that we did under that in just a bit. Goal two was to develop and publish a parent engagement website. That is done. I am ready to launch it. It's been sort of hidden for the year. But it's designed to minimize the amount of time that parents have to spend on the web. When you think of what they need to do between the hours of 5 and 10 o'clock at night, the only web my daughter is perusing is Facebook. They're not going to informational websites in their spare time. So it's done by age, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, post-secondary. We have a lot of post-secondary information on the website, and we have a lot of career and technical information on the website. We also have included grandparents. The number of grandparents that are raising their children today is increasing, but daily. And so we've hooked up with the Grandparent Network under Volunteers of America, and we're providing information for grandparents and military parents, which has been a close project of the Alaska PTA for about two decades now. So the idea is that if you are interested and you want to read research, go ahead and hit that button. But if you just need immediate information of what's happening now, hit your individual button for your age group of your child. Our third goal was to become a recognized organization for parent engagement by developing new partnerships, new and different partnerships, not the usual suspects in education. I'm pleased to say that we have really done well in this area. We continue our relationship with the Department of Education. Best Beginnings would make sense for our early childhood. ACPERC, Alaska Parent Information Resource Centers. We've worked with School Boards Association. We've sort of followed the Higher Education Career Readiness Task Force around the state. Department of Labor, we've been an integral part of that CTE plan. And in fact, later today, we'll be making an annual plan for this next year of how we can be helpful. The Alaska Business Education Compact mostly is gas and oil folks, education, CTE with UAA, those kinds of folks, the Grand Families Project, United Way. We did a project earlier this year with the United Way and 135 attendees at the summit for children. Alaska's Promise, we've not worked with them before, which is great. Military support meetings and other. We also had a public campaign, which those of you that live in Anchorage might have seen the public bus system with huge signs on the side. I will tell you that the fellow that's in charge of the signs on the bus said they were the most positive messages he's seen in 10 years of doing that job. And so I was very pleased with that, actually hanging out on the street trying to get pictures of the buses. And we will do that again this fall. It ran 6 weeks. He's given us 2 extra weeks free because the messages were so good. Get involved. Be engaged. So there were sub-messages, but most of all it was join your PTA, be involved. That was the direct one. I want to talk just a little bit about our project with Rural Cap, which was most unusual. The governor has been a big proponent of family engagement, and we know that. But he also had concerns with middle school children, and I know some of your testimony has centered around middle school kids. Kids begin to deselect their careers as early as middle school. And if they don't remain connected in middle school, the likelihood of them dropping out in high school is high. So we put together, along with Department of Education and Early Development, ACPERC and Rural Cap, 8 local AmeriCorps folks in 4 rural areas and 4 urban areas. And they were to create projects that would help a child be connected to the middle school. We're sort of halfway through there. Some have been successful. Some AmeriCorps workers have changed. We're hoping that it will go forward next year. I'm hopeful that the local folks have done a great job connecting. They know the students. They know the parents. In some cases of the rural villages, they're actually knocking on doors. So it's been a really interesting project. The Department of Education, Early Development, ACPERC, and PTA have been their resources. So when they have a problem, they call. And we call them back and forth. So it's been a really great program. And then our last goal was to develop a parent engagement class for teacher preparation programs. Now, that sounds silly, almost, except that in teacher preparation programs, there are not classes designed to train teachers how to have a parent-teacher conference, how to reach out and engage parents, and that lies true. There's one class at APU, no surprise, Dr. Ann McCoy is teaching that, and there's one at UAA. We believe that in teacher preparation, there should always be a class required for parent engagement. And I would tell you that, of course, we would believe that it would follow the standards. So those were our 4 goals. Successful in some, not quite there yet in others. And that's a challenge that we'll face. We also will meet with our advisory group, tweak, and go over, see what we need to do next and how that will look and if we can get it done. Being a military child myself, I'm all about getting in, getting it done, and leaving. So it's been a big breath for me to say that, oh, you actually have 3 years to do this, not 1.5. So I have to back off occasionally and not try to rush it right through. So I would have to say, though, at this point, we're feeling pretty good with the responsibility of that money. It was a huge surprise. We actually thought it had disappeared. We were not planning for it. We're not ready for it. And then it just dropped in our laps. So I hope you enjoy what we've done. As Al said, we had originally asked for money from the state legislature, and it was vetoed. And not having the word no in my vocabulary, we just went another way. And I think we've done good work with it.
Al Tamani, Alaska PTA. Alaska PTA is committed to working with families, just not PTA families. One of the benefits of having a PTA is there's some definite items for consideration. They're a 501c3. They allow schools opportunities to raise money, not just, as we always hear, just to raise money for fundraising for food and special events, but there's also educational value to having a PTA in a school. There's structure out there. There's programs that are already built for them, not only to engage the parents, but to engage the students. We have bylaws, insurance, there's liabilities. There is a responsibility through having a board and officers. And there's, like I said before, there's plenty of activities that they can do. And there's training and resources out there. People don't realize what's out there. People go out and try to reinvent the wheel. I can't tell you how many schools I've been in, not in just Alaska, but as a national board member. I get to travel all over the nation and go into these schools, and they want to invent these programs. And I say, they already exist. Why are you spending all this time doing something when it's already there for you? And once they see the value of it, the light turns on and they realize it's more than just fundraising. There's also opportunities to go out there and advocate. I know last month we had PTA members from all over the state down here talking to the legislature, talking about educational issues.
One project that we do have coming up is we have what's called the Parents as Leaders Project coming up April 29th in Anchorage at the BP Center. And we're partnering with Bridge Builders to conduct 3 outreach community cafes to Hmong and 2 other minority populations to listen and gather their concerns about the education system and to provide workshops and address some of the concerns and some of the good practices. Some of the other organizations that are working with us are the Anchorage School District Minority Concerns Committee, Bridge Builders, like I said, of Anchorage, Hispanic Affairs Council of Alaska. And our hope is to increase parent engagements in these families that are hard to reach. These are the families that we're not seeing in the schools, and we need to reach out and find a way to get them engaged. Alaska PTA represents approximately 48% of Alaska students. In 2009, Alaska PTA volunteers volunteered over 143,000 hours in the schools. If we give that a value, it's over $3.5 million of volunteer hours for schools, communities, and children. We're approximately 9,500 members in the state of Alaska, and we have 141 active PTA units.
Paula Pulowski. And I've expressed this concern before. If we have organized 141 PTAs in the state, I am concerned about the schools that do not have a consistent, organized method, way to be engaged with their school. I don't care if they're PTA organized or not, but I want to make sure that we have a consistent way for parents to be engaged. And I don't mean, I really don't mean just going to the school. A parent's day today is so organized that it doesn't fit with the school building times that it's open. So I look at my son-in-law, father of my 10-year-old grandson. He has coached every year, soccer, baseball, hockey. That is parent engagement because his work schedule doesn't allow him to come to the building. My daughter, on the other hand, is there frequently, not always for the best reasons, but, you know, that's what happens. But there are what we want to do is be on the same page when we talk about parent engagement. If you think of the word hamburger, you all immediately visualize what that hamburger looks like. If I say parent involvement or parent engagement, you immediately think of your parents, you think of how you were involved with your child's life. But if you look on the last page of the report, we would like to follow the research out of Hopkins University and out of Harvard University, and the State Board of Education has followed this path all along. There are 6 different standards: identifying, providing quality indicators. This year, because we are hooked into national PTA by being a state PTA, I now have an implementation guide and an assessment guide for these 6 standards. A school committee would walk through the assessment guide, walk through making a plan for parent engagement that includes all 6 of these standards, and then assess where they are. And the assessment is in 3 levels, so you can be not at all, you can be working on it, you can be doing great. But the point is that you, the more you engage these 6 standards, the more systemic the practice will be. It should not depend on one parent being there and leaving that school age group. It should depend on the school climate. It should depend on the school leaders. So that's sounding a little like my mother voice, so I won't continue on that. I would say, would like to, Andrea has brought copies of this document for you. It is the Family Engagement Action Plan. We've worked for about 8 months with the Department of Education and Early Development. Cindy Currien is behind me if you have questions that I can't answer about this. But I'd like you to know that it is a draft. The State Board of Education endorsed it in January of this year. And it, too, is divided into what the state level can accomplish in parent engagement. Simple things like sending a letter to every 5-year-old parent to engage them in the school, welcome them into the school. There are ideas at the school level, things like creating a network of mentor parents to assist new families in learning about the schools. I would say here that National PTA has created a new partnership with National Head Start So we'll begin to see materials coming forward on that resource also. And then at the community level, there are suggestions on how community members can help. I will say that one of the biggest examples of community involvement are yourselves, community citizens coming forward to help communities, your communities, and the state as a community, and also school board members. That's a really time commitment. That is a great example of what a community member can do. Also at the family level. So it just walks you through all of these different levels and, of course, is based on the standards. So I think with that, I know you have time crunch with finances, and we so appreciate your time. Just want to say again that this was not your money. We did find another way to fund it. But interestingly enough, the work that's accomplished this last year, we will not seek additional funding. And I know that probably surprises some of you that I won't do that. But we do strongly believe that the research says very clearly family engagement is part of an overall educational success for children. And having come to that, we've come to the conclusion that if parent engagement, if you are sincere about engaging parents in a child's success, you need to remain student-centered, and it needs to be in the Department of Education. PTA should not be responsible for every parent in the state. However, we're there at work as partners with the department. We can do workshops for them. We can provide our resources for them. But we should not hold the responsibility if we truly believe that parent engagement is part of that success of children. Highly qualified teachers, you run through the list. You know what the list is. But parents should be there at every stage. So with that, I thank you, Al.
We'll answer any questions if you have any.
Certainly. Let me just ask to begin with here. Well, what is your annual budget? Roughly.
About $70,000.
$70,000. Okay. And then the next question, a little more to the programs. Your goal number four says develop a parent engagement class for teachers preparation programs. And it mentions NEA. Do you deal with the university regarding that as far as just adding simply some classes that you believe or that even Harvard believes or John Hopkins or whoever is primarily the ones cranking out information and statistics on what's effective?
Paula Pawlowski, Mr. Chair, we have not reached the university level yet. We were asked specifically with partnership with NEA to begin to create this class. We have lots of models that we can draw from. We have other state models that we can draw from, so it won't be me sitting in the corner dreaming it up. But we have not reached that point. I have promised a workshop by fall for NEA, and then we'll begin that trek to make it more systemic within the learning for teachers.
Okay, and along that lines, I was thinking we do have a new university president, so it might be a good time to approach him with the concept. And do you know, and I probably should know, but I can't recall, if the National Certification Teachers Program, if that has elements in it. Somebody's shaking their head in the back of the room. Yes, that it does deal with that type of a concept anyhow.
And Senator Thomas, yes, it does. And even folks that teach teacher preparation programs will say that there is a thread of parent engagement in everything that they do. We would like to see it direct and succinct and cover certain things that we don't feel that it covers. So it is a work in progress. But, yes, the certification does require, and I know Cindy would have more information on that.
Very good. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to take an opportunity to thank the PTA for their involvement in the higher ed and career readiness task force that we've been meeting all during the interim. And I don't know how it worked out, but Paula was at almost every meeting, I think every meeting that I recall. And the PTA participated, was there, and helped us move along, and really was a major part of, I think, what our final report will be. And I learned a lot about parents being first teachers, and glad to hear about more involvement of grandparents. So I guess the only real question I have is, when I look at my school board back home in Kodiak, I don't recall there ever being a Filipino member or an Asian member. And the recent poll, our recent census, showed that 40% of my population in Kodiak is Filipino and Asian. Are they not involved? I mean, I know they're not involved, but the question is, how do we cross that cultural divide that keeps parents of language areas, issues, culture? How do we get them more involved in PTA? That seems to be a real important venue that they're missing.
May I? Through the chair, Paula Pawlowski. Senator Stevens, I did not set him up with this question earlier, but I'm so glad you asked. That is exactly what our Parents as Leaders Conference is attempting to do this next April, this April. National PTA took a gutsy move last year and said that all state PTAs will have a plan of diversity. And so it is up to us at the state level to train individual PTAs to really look at their population and really get those people represented on not only their board, but committees and engaged with their students. That's why we've partnered with Bridge Builders and HACA. You know, they sort of have the people and the members that we want to reach, and we have the resources. So we've been working closely together. I'm not sure how successful the first leadership program will be, but we have really looked at our board, and it is a consistent ask. You really have to do a personal ask, and you really have to give them something valuable to do, the same as myself. I don't want to just come and play patty cake in the hallway. So, you know, it depends on your volunteers, their resources, and the school's needs. And I suggest that every school should have a volunteer plan, K through 6, so forward. Instead of relying upon, the research shows us that as soon as third grade, parents are turned away for volunteer. And I just had a recent eye-opening experience that a coach for my son in West High, 35 years as an English lit and reading teacher, went with her grandson to an elementary school, his kindergarten, and asked if she could help somehow in the school. And the teacher said, you know, what we really want are the parents. And she went away injured. I said, you know, really, get back in there. What's wrong with you? Go, go, go. You cannot accept no as an answer. And so getting PTAs to step up to the plate for diversity will be part of our next year's mission. And I can tell you, having worked with Bridge Builders, every parent has the same need. They all want their children to succeed. They just don't understand this thing we've got called education system. And it is a system. It has language all of its own. It has rules all of its own. And it changes frequently. So just when you think you know the rules, it changes at middle school. And then it changes again at high school. So it really is a system. I've threatened to do a board game for high school and middle school. So you go forward two steps, and then you forgot to get your physical to play sports, so you go back to home. You know, kinds of things, because it is so complex that it is not only difficult for I as a parent to understand it, but parents that have never been exposed to this education system are really confused. Thank you. And if I could just also thank you for the preliminary report and the pieces of parent involvement that you put in. I was definitely yahooing. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Other questions?
Just one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question about the PTA's involvement, if any, or to what degree, with the Parents as Teachers effort that's being advanced in the House as a way to increase parental involvement in their kids' education.
Go ahead. You're on a roll.
Thank you, Paula Pawlowski. We have in PTA what we call a legislative platform. And it deals with different sections of education. And early childhood is one of those sections. We have supported Parents as Teachers last year and this year. It is a way to really assess children early on and begin to teach parents that don't know at 3 months my child's supposed to roll over, and they're not rolling over until 6 months. You know, those kinds of things are not taught in high school or middle school, and then, hello, you have a baby with no manual. And so Parents as Teachers really is able to reach into the infant's life and begin to involve that parent right away. There's no pass-go. You get involved immediately. When you change your baby's diaper, coo to them, talk to them. That's not an innate parenting skill. And every child is different. So I can tell you after three of my own that, yeah, what works with one does not work with the other. So early, in fact, we found out at age 9 that my youngest son had a tumor on his spine. You know, I was looking for signs just like the other kids, but it really allows a bonding early on and a detection that can be addressed before you get to the public school system.
Thank
you. That
help? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sure does.
Thank you, Senator French. Just a couple questions, and I guess I'd like to bring it down more to the front line, you know, the schools in our district. And I, first of all, I want to thank both of you. I know you get paid big bucks to do this, and you have other jobs, you have kids to raise, and you know, we're all parents here, and I think that's part of the challenge, is that as parents in today's society, we have two or three jobs. The spouse works, and you know, the other one may have a couple jobs, and you just don't have as much time as you would like to get involved in your kids' activities, the homework, the PTA meetings. And I've noticed this. I think I have 6 elementary schools in my district, a high school, and a middle school. And some of the PTAs, you have a large crowd, and then other PTAs, there's just a handful of people. How do you deal with that challenge of getting parents more involved in the schools, in the PTA, knowing, you know, with today's society that they're just pulled in so many different directions?
That's a unique challenge. I mean, that's a challenge that we're seeing. Al Tamani, sorry about that last PTA. That's a challenge that we're seeing everywhere. And I know the schools in your district are different ends of the scale. And what we're seeing across Alaska is that we're losing parents in the meetings. They still want to participate to some extent, but they don't have the time for the same reasons that you identified to come to those meetings. They're working multiple jobs. They have other things going on. They have other responsibilities and duties. One of the things that we're trying to reach out to the PTAs is to ask them to become dynamic and unique. What is specific to their community? And I use each school as its own community because really that's what it is. It's all dynamic and diverse. What can they do differently to engage those parents? It may not necessarily be something that they can do at school. Do they need to look at other ways of doing PTA meetings? Are some parents not able to go because of their work schedule? They don't have a transportation to the school. Are there other opportunities we can use with technology? How about go to meetings, you know, online meetings, stuff like that? So it's a challenge, and we don't have the silver bullet answer for it. There are some schools that are doing better with it. Some PTAs have a challenge just outreaching to their membership, letting them know that they exist. Once they do that and they can make those connections, we give them other ideas. Have, for those schools that are really diverse, have multicultural night where everybody comes in and has a big dinner. Everybody brings their own food from their own country, and that's always a big driver for people because they can bring their families. They can come in. They don't have to worry about dinner that night. Family game nights, dads and daughters nights, you know, those types of events that give them some benefit instead of them just having to think that they're going to have to sit down at a table and listen to somebody speak for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe there's some way of sharing all these different ideas or these different programs. I think it's at Trailside, for example, they have Friday night movies, and the parents will come with their kids. And Cassoon had a summer barbecue or picnic, which was well attended. And I also noticed that the PTAs are constantly changing the time. Some of them will be at 3 o'clock, right when school gets out. Some of them are at 6 o'clock, when some of the parents are getting off work. And I know it's a constant struggle trying to find what's the most convenient for the parents. Yes.
And if I may, Paula Pawlowski, it's not just the PTA that's suffering. That gives us very little comfort, though, when we can't really get people all in one place. The Rotary clubs, the other private clubs are failing in membership also. And it's just like, you know, the magazine subscription of 20 years ago is not happening anymore. So it's online reading. I mean, we do have to go with the flow. The state has the same problem. Our attendance at convention has gone down and down and down because people have to pay for a flight to come into Anchorage. They have to pay the registration, and they have to arrange their lives for 3 days. That's very difficult to do. So we're trying to keep up with the modern, with the Facebook, the web page, the SurveyMonkey, the GoToMeetings. We'll be using a lot more next year for self-training for the PTA leaders. But you said it. It is family. And it is family for our minority folks. If we cannot make activities for PTA at the school that does not include families, they will not come. It has to, when you look at the list of things they need to do at night, you need to take something out. Dinner, homework tutors, you know, those kinds of things at the school is the only way we're going to make it.
No, you're absolutely right. For example, my high school, Service High School, I think now is 54% minority. So it's just totally diverse. It's changed. Had another question, but I've lost it. So, is anybody else? Senator Stevens.
So, expose my ignorance here, but I have no idea what Bridge Builders is. What is that? I've not heard of that. Is that a local Anchorage issue, or something that I've never heard of in rural Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, Bridge Builders of Anchorage is actually started under Mayor Rick Maestrom. And we had a lot of crime going on at the time, a lot of gang activity, and he brought together several ministers and talked about the problem. And we really felt that as we got people together and had discussions, that would be a way to tackle this minimization. I spent some time working for Bridge Builders before we received this money. And it's not just introducing the community to the minority folks, but it's the minority folks to each other. So ordinarily, you know, they're not mixing. So there's big events that they hold, Martin Luther King Day. We do a Meet the World event at the museum where you get a little passport. You go around the world to different booths for different countries, and that's always a fun event, well attended. March and the 4th of July parade. There's a leaders award banquet in the fall where the communities themselves pick out a deserving person, and that person's rewarded. So Bridge Builders just facilitates the event. It's a great organization, and like I said, because it also mixes the cultures within. I just would like to correct, actually, I do get the big bucks these days, Senator Meyer. We decided with $238,000 that it could not be left up to a volunteer, so I applied for the job, and I actually do get paid until October 2012, and then I'll be looking.
Well, very good. Yeah, and I know you're involved in a lot of activities, especially with the military, and appreciate that. Just one more question I have is that some of the PTAs that I go to, again, pretty much just in my district, a lot of them are parents-driven and dominated, but some of them appear to be more teacher-principal-dominated. Is that difficult finding a balance sometimes? Because I personally want to see the parents more involved, but sometimes I go and it looks like it's the teachers or the principals kind of running the meetings. I know it is PTA, parent-teachers, but I think you want the parents to be the dominant force, I believe.
Al Tamani, that's true, and when you see instances like that, which we tend to see historically, is that there's not enough parents in the schools that want to step forward to participate in the PTA. The teachers believe strongly enough in the PTA that they want to keep it going. What we encourage them to do is to allow them to continue. They can continue that way, but to find parents that are willing to step up, because you don't want a board fully based on teachers. That creates dynamic problems within the schools, especially if funding's turned down for their requests and stuff like that. So we do have schools like that. We try to get them to go away from it, get parents engaged, find ways to get their parents involved so they can step back, still participate on the board, but let that leadership be somewhere else except with the teachers.
Okay, very good. And then I'll just throw out one more frustration that I have. We last week just took up Senate Bill 84, which had to do with the BSA, base student allocation. We were recommending to bump it up to $110 per student, and then have a section dealing with the VOTEC education as well, outside of the BSA. And you know, it's great. We hear from teachers, we hear from principals, we hear from superintendents, we hear from school administrators, but frankly, that doesn't weigh much with me, and I don't know, I don't want to speak for the rest of the committee members. We want to hear from the parents. They're the ones that their kids are going to these schools. They're the ones that maybe don't have a bias in the sense that obviously, you know, the school administrators want more funding because that's their job. How do we get more parents involved? And maybe they think the education funding is adequate, and that's why they're not involved. Or I guess it doesn't help when we meet at 8 o'clock in the morning, and most parents are probably taking kids to school or going to work. But even just a simple email giving us their opinion would be helpful.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. That is exactly part of the problem, is that, you know, we all are working in our own sections hard. And so 8 o'clock in the morning is not really all that convenient. However, we did do a monkey survey. Survey Monkey, I'm sorry, I always reverse that. Survey Monkey. It is preliminary. We have only had it out for a week and a half, but I can tell you that the numbers of parents that are supportive of CTE is like 95%. It's huge, that want to see that. So in the base allocation, you know, having spent a great deal of time with CTE folks, the fear is that it will not go to CTE if it goes in a big number. You know, what is the percentage of that number that will go to CTE? So you got to have sort of a tracking mechanism to say that money that you intend, that's what your intent is, goes to CTE. It's got to be some way to make sure that it actually lands there. But yes, we did have, we'll release those numbers to you as soon as the survey closes and gives us some more information. There was something else you asked that I was going to say was up on the survey, and now I can't remember, but I did notice that like 95 to 98% of parents agreed with full funding of CTE education. So I should have that out to you by next week.
And again, CTE is the
Career Technical Education.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the Education Committee bill did keep that separate from the BSA, so that money will definitely go to the Career Technical Education.
Oh, if I might add to that a moment, Senator Meyer, it is difficult for parents in this legislative process. We do not support a bill necessarily by number or title because things change within the bill at any given time, at any given committee. And so we will say that we support the concept of the bill, and we want 1, 2, and 3 things included in the bill. So we just don't recommend to our parents that they jump up and say, oh, yeah, Ray 84. You know, we'll say you want to look for this, this, and this within the bill so that we guarantee that it's there at the end of the day. So you might not see a lot of by bill number. And even though on our survey we did include the number, we also say, you know, it might not be there at the end of the day. So, you know, it's another tool we can use. But and you know, many folks have never been in an LIO to begin with. You know, we think we ought to have an open house there or something at the beginning of the session so everybody can look through and see it's not all that scary. And you guys really don't look all that scary. So, you know, we just keep encouraging that legislative. But, you know, people who follow legislative actions are different. It's a different way to be engaged than it is to get your child to school.
Okay, very, very good. I appreciate that. And again, they don't necessarily have to testify, but just send us a quick little email saying, you know, we think the schools need more funding, or we think the schools. I mean, if you don't hear anything, I think you almost feel like everything must be fine. So,
are you still looking for feedback on that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make sure an email gets out to our membership.
Okay.
By the end of the week.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anything else from committee members? Again, appreciate you both coming down, and appreciate all the time and effort you put in our schools and the PTA Association. it really does make a difference, as you said, that when we can get the parents involved in the kids' schools. Again, I can see firsthand as which schools the parents are involved in and which ones aren't. So, good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, if there's nothing else, I think we'll go ahead and conclude for today. Our next meeting is Friday. Again, you may be interested in this. This is Senate Bill 6, which has to do with the pre-kindergarten programs. I believe that's actually Senator Davis and Senator French's bill. So we'll get started on that, continue on till Monday, but also on Monday, we're going to be starting the confirmation hearings for the Board of Education and the Board of Regents. Is that okay? So that will be Monday as well, or that's Monday, and then like I said, we'll start the pre-kindergarten on Friday. So if there's nothing else come before the committee, we're adjourned.